In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. One day, the CEO of a Fortune 500 company pulled into a gas station with his beautiful wife. And as he went inside to pay, he looked out the window and noticed that his wife was talking with one of the station attendants. As it turned out, they knew each other. In fact, they were high school sweethearts. The CEO got back into the car with his wife, and the two of them drove in silence for a while. The CEO was feeling pretty good about himself when he finally spoke to his wife. "I bet I know what you're thinking right now. I bet you're thinking you're glad you married me, a Fortune 500 CEO and not that station attendant." "Actually, no," his wife said. "I was thinking if I had married him, he would be the CEO and you would be the station attendant." In biblical times, women were not typically valued in themselves for who they were, but usually only in regard to the men in their lives. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus has his longest recorded conversation with any single person in all of Scripture. And guess what? It happens to be with a woman. And not only a woman, but a Samaritan woman. And John makes it very clear in today's text that Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans, which is really a polite way of putting it because the Jews and Samaritans hated each other. In fact, a good and faithful Jew would travel hours or even days out of his way to avoid crossing paths with a good-for-nothing Samaritan. And yet in today's gospel, Jesus shows up in the very heart of Samaria. And as he's resting near a well, a Samaritan woman approaches to draw some water, and this is where their record-setting conversation begins. Now, most biblical scholars are quick to point out that the Samaritan woman comes at a very unusual time, around noon, one of the hottest times of the day. Whereas most women would have gone to the well much earlier when it was still cool outside, this would allow them to collect the water for the day's work ahead of them. Also, the town well was a lot like our modern-day water cooler, a place for people to gather together and to socialize and connect. So the fact that this woman shows up in the middle of the day and is completely alone might send up some red flags. A few verses later, Jesus confirms these suspicions by telling us the woman has had five different husbands, and the man she's currently with is not one of them. But before we jump to any conclusions, it's important for us to remember that a woman in those days had no power to divorce a man. If she had five husbands, it was either because those men had divorced her or they had all died. The truth is, we really don't know what brought her to this point in her life. But what we do know is that she has seemingly missed out on a loving, long-term relationship with a man. And the fact that she's coming to the well at noon indicates that she doesn't have any female friends either. The woman is most likely seen as a social outcast in her community. When people see her, they whisper under the breath, "Oh, there she goes, the one who can't keep a relationship. Bless her heart." Chances are she doesn't feel loved. She doesn't feel accepted. And she doesn't feel like she matters to anyone. But instead of ignoring this woman, like a good Jew is supposed to do, Jesus sees her. He recognizes her pain, and he names her struggles. And in doing so, he shows her that she does matter, that she's not invisible, that she has worth and value, that she is a beloved child of God. Of course, the woman cannot believe that this Jewish man is speaking to her, a woman, and a Samaritan asking her for a drink. And notice how Jesus responds to her in today's text. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you the living water. In other words, Jesus offers this woman's God's unconditional love, his unconditional grace and acceptance from a well that will never run dry. Here in this strange and awkward conversation between a Jew and a Samaritan, we are reminded of the good news that God's love has no boundaries. He sees the inherent value and worth of every single person, including those who see themselves on the outside. Now, if we're completely honest with ourselves, most of us have Samaritans in our lives, people we prefer to avoid or ignore, people we disagree with or people we don't like, or people we just don't understand. The truth is, we all have difficult people in our lives, don't we? And if you don't, as the old saying goes, then chances are you are that difficult person. But in today's gospel, we are reminded that as followers of Jesus, as the body of Christ, as the church, we are to offer the Samaritans in our lives living water by sharing with them God's love, God's acceptance, and God's grace. The Christian pastor and author Tony Campolo tells this powerful story of how he once traveled to Hawaii for a speaking engagement, but he still had not adjusted to the change in time zones. So he was up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he was hungry, so he went looking for a place to eat. And eventually he found himself in a 24-hour diner. The only other customers in the place were a group of prostitutes who had finished for the night. And he overheard one of them, named Agnes, mentioned that tomorrow was her birthday and that she had never in her entire life had a birthday party. After the women left, Tony found out from the owner that these women came in the diner every night. So Tony asked him if he could come back the next night and throw a party for Agnes. The owner agreed, but only on the condition that he be allowed to make the cake. Here's the story as Tony tells it. At 2:30 in the next morning, I was back in the diner. I had picked up some decorations at the store and had made a sign out of big pieces of cardboard that read, "Happy Birthday, Agnes." The owner must have gotten the word out on the street, because by 3:15 a.m., every prostitute in Honolulu was in the place. It was wall-to-wall prostitutes and me. At 3:30, the door swung open, and in came Agnes. Everybody yelled, "Happy birthday, Agnes!" Never have I seen a person so flabbergasted. Her mouth fell open, and her legs buckled. When we finished singing, her eyes moistened, and when the cake was carried out, she completely lost it and began to weep. "Is it okay if I keep the cake for a while, if we don't eat it right away?" she asked. "Sure," the diner owner responded. "If you want to keep it, keep it. The cake is yours. Take it home if you want, Agnes." Then looking at me, she said, "I just live down the street. I want to take the cake home, okay? I'll be right back." She carried that cake out the door like it was the Holy Grail. We all stood there stunned. Not knowing what else to do, I finally broke the silence by saying, "What do you say we pray?" Looking back on it now, it seems more than strange for a preacher to be leading a prayer meeting with a bunch of prostitutes in a diner in Honolulu at 3:30 in the morning. But then again, it just felt like the right thing to do. When I finished praying, the owner leaned over the counter and said, "Hey, you never told me you were a preacher. What kind of church do you belong to anyway? In one of those rare moments of inspiration when the right words come to you, I answered, I belong to a church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning. The owner sat there for a moment in silence and then finally responded, no, you don't. There's no church like that. If there was, I'd join it. I don't know about you, but I've had plenty of conversations with people who refuse to go to church because they say it's full of hypocrites, to which I usually respond, you know, you're right. How would you like to join the rest of us hypocrites this Sunday? As it's been said, the church is not a museum for saints, but a hospital for sinners. It's a group of broken, sinful people who have received God's living water in the form of unconditional love and acceptance, even though we didn't deserve it, who then, with God's help, go out into the world and offer that same love and that same acceptance to those who don't deserve it. Today, may we remember this good news, that God's love has no boundaries, that no matter what we've done or what we've left undone, all of us are God's beloved children. And when we embrace this good news and we begin to see all people through the eyes of God, especially those on the outside, how might that change the way we think about other people? How might it change the way others think about us? So the next time we cross paths with a Samaritan, someone who is on the margins, someone whose society has overlooked, may we remember the truth that we are just as broken as they are. And with God's grace, may we share with them God's living water. Amen.